bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. Join us at the arena of Christ Temple East as we bid farewell to 2023 and welcome our God year, 2024. Get ready to worship, praise, pray, and to experience the power of God through the ministry of Pastor Mensah Otabil.
Receive the grace to recover all that which was lost. Recover lost time. Recover lost opportunities. Recover lost resources. You will recover all.
Come along with your family. Gather your loved ones. And let's do this together. Don't miss Crossover with Pastor Mensah Otabil at 9 p.m. It's a celebration like no other.
And now, today's word.
The words we speak are important to our destiny. Your words will create your destiny. There's a story of a man in the Bible. We all know him, Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith. And God called Abraham to do some very interesting things, one of which was that he was going to have a lot of children. But when God called Abraham, he had no child. And eventually God cut a covenant with him. At the time God started working with him, his name was Abram. Abram means exalted father. Exalted father, that means more like a respected man. And God cut a covenant with Abraham and called him Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. So from the day God cut the covenant with Abraham, when people ask Abraham, what's your name? He will say, Abraham, father of many nations. When Abraham is talking about himself, he'll call himself Abraham, father of many nations. Now, what was Abraham doing? He was putting the word of God in his mouth. Now, it doesn't seem ridiculous now, because we know the name Abraham as a name. And so when somebody calls himself Abraham, we don't really think about the meaning. But for you to get a clear picture of what it was to Abraham to call himself father of many nations when he had no child, it's like you walking through the streets of Accra and you see a beggar by the roadside asking you for money. And you ask him, what's your name? And he says, Osikeni. Or rich man. Now, when that man calls, you say, he's asking you for money, means he's poor. What's your name? Osikeni. Now, your first response is you're going to laugh at him, because his name is inconsistent with his condition. His name doesn't reflect his reality. His name says he's rich. His reality says he's poor. That's what God did to Abraham. So after God cuts a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham goes back and tells Sarah, guess what? I am now a father of many nations. Sarah probably will look at him and say, what's going on with my husband? You have no child. You are now father of many nations. Then he announces to the whole neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen, I met God. And from today, this is how you call me, father of many nations. I can hear the laughter in the tents of the neighborhood. And for years, he called himself father of many nations when he had no child. And everybody called him father of many nations when he had no child. And many of the people who called him father of many nations probably called him that, making fun of him. But what he was doing was that he was putting the word of God in his mouth. For a moment, it looked like a joke. It looked like fun, because he's going around calling himself father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations, and no child. But he has said, so we may boldly say. So, when you live here and you begin to call yourself the way God calls you, get ready. Somebody is going to think you tripped. They're going to say you tripped. And you yourself may even think you tripped. And for some of you, it may seem so ridiculous that you will not call yourself that name. Because I can imagine Abraham could have just looked at the name God gave him and said, oh God, what is this? And decide, I'll just keep my old name, Exalted Father, it's nice. Because this one puts me out for ridicule. But if you're going to believe God for the supernatural, you have to be ready to do something unnatural. If you just want to flow in the normal scheme of things, the normal will happen to you. But if you want the supernatural to happen to you, you're going to step up and you're going to say what God says, although your physical reality contradicts what God says. For he has said, so we may boldly say. So when you leave here telling people, I am overflowing, I am prosperous. Can you imagine you go to office Monday and you tell everybody, I'm overflowing, I am blessed, I am prosperous. And lunchtime, it's time to go and buy lunch, you have no money. And people are going to say, look at you, you are saying prosperous, prosper, overflow. You can't even buy lunch, 5 cedis. But that's what Abraham had to deal with. Father of many nations, and everybody's having a child. His servants are having children. His maids are having children. His nephews are having children. Everybody in the neighborhood is having children. People marry 9 months, they have children. Some even marry 1 month, they have a child because they started. They did it advance. So, I mean, here are people just popping up children easily without a prophecy. They are just doing it. And Abraham alone, you meet God. And why can't God do it just now? But he has to wait because God's works are very different. He doesn't work with our cycle of events. He works with a different cycle. And when you believe him and he honors his word, the quality of what he does is supernatural, and its effect has a greater destiny. Its effect has a greater destiny. So Abraham is believing God for that which is normal to a lot of people, but he is believing God for it. Everything we believe God for, it is easy for somebody. Everything. If you believe in God for healing, some people have it. People are well. You believe in God for a child, a lot of people have children. You believe in God for money, people have money, they didn't pray. But for you, what is normal to people is a challenge. And for each one of us, we have something before us. Other people find it easy to do it, but for us, it's a difficulty. And it is in that area of difficulty that God steps in. And when he steps in, he's going to give you a word. And when he gives you a word, you have to put that word in your mouth. For he has said, so we may boldly say. So, when God speaks to you, maybe you read your Bible and God spoke to you from the word in your devotion. Or maybe you were just praying and you just sensed something deep inside you and you just knew this is the voice of God. Or maybe you met somebody and he said something to you, and the moment the person said it, you just felt that this is of God. There are times you may be having conversation with somebody and you will sense this is God speaking to you. Elizabeth was having a conversation with Mary. But when Mary starts speaking, Elizabeth says, the baby in my tummy jumped. Now, Mary didn't go from her hometown to Elizabeth's home saying, I'm going to speak and the baby will jump. It's a normal conversation, but there is a part of the conversation that resonated even with the baby John the Baptist. And Elizabeth could tell, This is a visitation from God. There are times you may be talking with somebody, just normal conversation, and they just make a statement and it just hits you inside. And you just know God has just given me a word. And sometimes it's a song. You're just singing a song, or there's a song being sung. And sometimes in the service, a song is being sung. And as a song is being sung, tears are flowing in your eyes. And it's just as if God just spoke to you. Even after the song has moved to a second song and a third song, you are still back to that song, because that is where God spoke to you. Now, why does God speak to you? Why does God say that? Why do you find a scripture that speaks to you, or a word that resonates with your spirit, or a song that resonates, or a preaching that resonates? God does that so you can say something. You don't receive that word and keep quiet. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we will boldly say, and I like how Hebrews put it, so you will boldly say, not timidly, not going about fearfully and say, well, I don't know, maybe if I say it too, my people will laugh at me. So you can boldly say. And some of you, from now to the rest of your life, there are some things you will boldly say. You will boldly say. You will boldly say, I am the blessed of God. I am blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. I am the head and not the tail. I prosper. I am the light of my family. I shine in the darkness of my family. I have abundance and to the overflow. He has said it so we can boldly say it. The word of God in your mouth has the same power as if it came from God's mouth. When you say what he says, it carries the same power as if God has spoken it. So one of the things you're going to learn to do is boldly say what God has said. Boldly say it. Now, when you start boldly saying the word of God, it doesn't mean that you just start boldly saying it and then all of a sudden, 1 minute, everything is okay. Abraham said it for years. For years. Sometimes you keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over. And God knew it would be difficult for Abraham, so he converted his word into a name. So every morning, Sarah would say, Abraham! She's saying the word of God. He goes around and the servants are saying, Mr. Abraham, Mr. Abraham, Mr. Abraham, Mr. Abraham. He's saying the word of God. People ask him, what's your name? I'm Abraham. He's declaring the word of God. In a day, he says the word of God probably 100 times, or hears the word of God spoken to him 100 times. So for all those years of waiting, he never staggered in faith, because the word was constantly in his mouth, in his ears, and around him. Don't let the word drop from your mouth. Don't. And don't let any word of unbelief proceed out of your mouth. All right. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered to him. Verse 13, I will read it again. It says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. So, the word ensnared means to be trapped. The wicked is trapped. How do we fall into traps? By the transgression of his lips. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that lips just changed position in his face? No. When the Bible says the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, it means the words. The words you speak out of your lips. The wicked is trapped by the transgression. What does transgression mean? Transgression means to go astray. To go astray. Transgressions means that there is a path and you step outside the path. And when you step outside the path, you have transgressed. You have gone astray. You have moved from the path. So, the wicked is trapped because his words leave the path. His words shift from the path. Questing, who establishes the path? The word of God. The word of God establishes the path of your lips. When you say something else outside of the word of God, your lips have transgressed. And when your lips transgress, the Bible says you'll be trapped. So, if God says it is a season of overflow, that is the path. So we may boldly say, I will overflow in every area of my life. That's the path. When I say life is hard, life is difficult, I have transgressed. So the path is overflow. I say life is hard, I have transgressed. And when I transgress, the Bible says I have set a trap for myself. Not the devil. You trap yourself. So God gives you a word. What he expects is that when he lays the path, you will boldly say it. You will continue saying what God says. Anytime you say anything different, you have transgressed. And the Bible says it will trap you. So guess what? The traps that are laid for you are laid by the word of your mouth. And sometimes the word of your mouth can trap you in sickness. Because you say it all the time. Oh, that's for me. I'm sick. I'm always sick. I'm always sick. That's the way I've been. I'm sickly. I'm a sickly person. Even when I was in class 4 for the whole year, I didn't go to school. I'm sick. I get sick easily. They say cholera is coming. I have to be careful because as for me, I catch the sickness very easily. The Bible says, when you say that, you have transgressed and you've trapped yourself. Because what does the word say? I am the Lord that healeth thee. So I will say boldly, I am healed. But when I say boldly, I am sick, I am setting a trap by the word of my mouth. So God says it so we may boldly say. So God says, he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In the midst of famine, he will feed you. In scarcity, you have abundance. In the wilderness, he'll open rivers of living water for you. So you may boldly say, even if the economy is bad, I will prevail.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 00.